still talking. I'm talking a little bit, and they're trying to.
Awesome.
This isn't recording yet, right? Because this is, you don't do the test pattern. Do you guys remember test patterns on the TV? And they put all the lines there, and then you'd like turn the knobs to make the lines go straight. Yeah. There were a couple of kids at Protostar camp this week, and they came with shirts with lines like that. I said, oh, you guys look like a test pattern. What are you talking about? I had to explain it to them, and they just like stopped talking. We have stuff to do. Like, they had no, only people that had knobs on their TVs will even know what that's about. Good. Yeah, what a thrill to be back with you. I am. You'll be done with me this week. So I was told I was preaching today. And maybe I don't understand definitions, because like Chris was going to do announcements and then I was going to preach. But if you do a if you prepare something that's a statement and it has a message, isn't it? Isn't that a sermon? And like, did I miss something? No. And I actually, my wife, and so you're done. Like, yes. I can't improve. On that. I can't do any better than that, so I will try not to occupy your time for too much today. I thought Chris's statement and the message and the challenge and the encouragement in the context of the culture that we live in right now, it couldn't be more real. I guess the end of what I want to say today is basically this. We must be strengthened here to go there, because the solution and the work that needs to be done to make our culture better, to make it safer, to make it more loving, will not happen in here. It will not happen in here. It will happen when you go there and take what you have gotten here to a world that is desperately searching for a solution, for a story that makes sense out of what they're experiencing. The world currently is offering no good options to explain the three piles of crap that I talked about several weeks ago. There's no good answers for that. We have an answer. Good. I'm going to start by reading the scripture, and then I'll do my Protostar stuff. You know, I've done Protostar every time I've come here, like advertisements. So I'll do a little Protostar camp report and one advertisement. We'll get through this really quick and get on to the important matter of remembering the body and blood of Jesus. The third John, the shortest of our New Testament epistles, a letter that John wrote to a friend of his about some matters in the church that I think still has a timely message for us today. This is on page 1907 in your large print pew Bible, if you would like to follow along. The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men, so that we may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is spoken well of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. Let's pray. God, we just pray that you would help us to bring this little letter that a guy wrote to another guy about things in a church so long ago that we don't even define church the same way. And yet, you would make it relevant for us today, that we'd be challenged by it, and that we would have a greater desire than ever to serve one another, that we might reflect the glory of you to a lost, scared, anxious world. In Jesus' name, amen. So yes, we had Protostar Camp this last week. I just want to give a word of thanks. We spent a week over at University of Dubuque with, well, there were 16 or 17 of us, depending on the day. I particularly want to acknowledge Grace Point's participation in that. The camp was led by Allison and Christian English. Christian, of course, is a son of this church. They were just amazing in what they did. Kayla Ferguson was there. She did a workshop for us. It's a creative arts camp, so we had people come in and do some different workshops, and she did what she does best, her interpretive storytelling, unbelievable stuff. It's just so good. The kids were acting all kinds of things long after she was gone. And then Olivia Lang was with us for the whole week, and wow, is that girl talented and intelligent and smart and pretty. Anyway, am I supposed to say that? I don't know, like, am I supposed to say that? And you know, this is how God works, right? We had never met, and then weeks ago when I was here, she was here, and I was like, yeah, let's go, and she signed up, and wow, we had an amazing time. So I want to thank Grace Point's participation. We saw some amazing things happen, not only in our individually, but as a group. And I learned something that is I think appropriate to what we'll talk about today briefly, that we must be in community to connect with God. You cannot connect with God on your own because you will screw it up. You won't understand. You will interpret things through your own lens. And if the only community we have are people who are not fellowshipping with us around the topic of Jesus, around the topic of seeking God, it doesn't mean that we agree with each other all the time. We're not going to, because we're imperfect in how well we can understand Scripture, how well we can understand Jesus. And we all are filtering our experiences through a different lens. But if you are not in a tight community of people who are talking about Jesus, you are lost. Doesn't mean you don't believe in Jesus. Doesn't mean you're not following Jesus the best that you can. I'm just saying, if you don't have people to refine your faith with, if you're coming here and Sunday morning is the only time that you talk about Jesus, thank you for coming. We're glad you're here. Please continue to put your money in the basket. Is that okay? Got that. Amen. Okay. But you need more. We need more. It was great. Okay, here we go. Verses 1 through 4. We're going to go through this verse by verse. I said I've always wanted to preach through a book. And so, like, last week I did 2 John, and now I did 3 John. So I can say, yes, I've preached through books of the Bible before. I just did it in one day. I've done two whole books. All right, here we go. Verses 1 through 4, I just love this. I love that as John connects with Gaius, he's saying, isn't it awesome that we hear stories about each other that encourage us? Aren't we encouraged by the stories of faith when we connect with each other? Aren't we encouraged when we hear about amazing things that happen? If I spent this entire time talking about what we saw at Protostar Camp, what we experienced, you would be like, I'm just so glad I know about that. It encourages me when I hear the stories of God at work in people's lives. We should be sharing those stories. We should be talking about the things that happen, and we should be seeking places where we can have communication with people where we say, what did God do in your life this week? What happened where you saw God at work? And it doesn't have to be huge things. It can be little things. It can be big things. But we're so encouraged, and I love this. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth. If I could just tell you about Kayla's faithfulness to the truth and what she did to come and share, to take time out of her life to prepare and share for a couple hours with her kids, you'd be encouraged. If I could tell you about the faithfulness that Christian and Allison showed to prepare the ground and to prepare a program so that people could explore their creative side, but also know that that comes from being made in the image of God, you'd be encouraged. Tell stories. Share stories. Talk openly about what God is doing in your life, because you're encouraged when you know you are. You love those stories. You love hearing about the miraculous thing God's doing in different people's lives. Well, guess what? He's doing some miraculous things in your life too. The problem is that a lot of times our miracles seem like, that just happened. It's not that big a deal. You know what? Someone needs to hear what God did in your life, even if it's a small thing. Share your stories. I don't want to spend much time on some of these verses because there's some meat in here I want to get into. The next part, when we get into verses 5-8, it's just a reminder that we're all in this together. Dear friend, you're faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They've told the church about your love. You'll do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. They went out for the sake of the name, receiving no help from the pagans. Duh. So we ought to encourage people who are doing the work of God. We ought to show hospitality to each other. Can we just land there for a minute? Let's just talk about the fact that sometimes we are so concerned about what the pagans think. Can we just define pagans as anyone not following Jesus outside? That's basically what it's meaning. It's meaning a culture out there that does not know God, is not interested in God, will actually react with offense to the name of Jesus. Can we just say that sometimes we are so concerned about what the pagans think that we do not effectively do the ministry of God? And I'm just gonna be blunt, you guys. Oh, we can't do that. What if we get sued? Oh, we have to be careful about what we say because someone might have be offended by what we say. Oh, we have to be really careful. We have to make sure we follow all the rules out there. We have to be kind of in the world but not of the world, but we better follow all their rules. And we're so afraid of going outside of here and speaking to pagans about Jesus or risking our reputation. What would people think? We talked about this at camp this week. The most powerful voice in any of our lives that is not Jesus is the one that says, what would people think? What would people think if they knew what was inside of me? What would people think? But we actually turn it the other way. See, this is the weird thing. We walk in here and we go, ooh, what would people think if they knew what I watched last night? Ooh, what would people think if they knew what how I act, say, when I'm at work? What would people think? Like, we get dressed up to come to church and we worry what people would think. And then we go out there and we're like, ooh, what would people think if I actually talked about Jesus? What would people think if they think I was a fool? What would people think if they knew I was a Jesus freak or whatever that Jesus? You guys remember that? DC Talk? Yeah, okay. The pagans are not on our team. They're not for us. But we are not against them. We are for them. They're against us. They are not for us, but we are for them. Why are we for them? Because Jesus died for the pagans. You were one. And if you were raised in the church and you never knew the time that you were a pagan, you should praise God for that. But Jesus died for the pagans. Like, they're as valuable as you are, even though they live like, like, they're doing some stuff out there, and they got some weird, but they died. Jesus died for the pagans. We are for the pagans, but they aren't going to help us. And we shouldn't be surprised and retreat back into our, they're mad at us out there. Oh, they don't. Like, and I don't know if I'm really talking to Grace Point. I'm talking like to the larger church. Like, we're kind of going into this bunker mentality that says, oh, we better come in here because out there, it's scary. What are we afraid of? And ultimately, we're afraid of what would people think. We've got to support each other because all of us have a responsibility to go out there. And if I don't feel strengthened when I come here at the difficulties I face out there, it's not going to give me the strength I need to go out there. So let's encourage each other. Let's meet together. Some of you need to take that precepts class. And make sure you write your checks for the materials. I don't know. Some of you need to take that because you have been drifting in your faith thinking it's enough to come here and just listen and do your religious duty. But when you go out there, if anyone would by any miraculous moment say to you, "Why do you believe in God?" You'd be like, well, because I like the organ. What? You don't know. You don't have an answer. So when Peter says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, you don't really know how to do it. Some of you need to take that class. You need to sacrifice for the sake of growing in who you are. Can you tell I'm not coming back? Because I'm just put the smack on. Hey, I haven't even got to the good stuff. All right. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. This week at Protostar Camp, we talked about being made in the image of God. We spend a lot of time about that. We talk about being created to create, and that's an important part of who we are, that when we create, we actually reflect the image of God, and that our creativity should be celebrated, and we should be encouraged to explore all the creativity within us, because we have something that animals don't have. You guys might not have ever thought about this. Animals don't have an imagination. They can't imagine being anything else but what they are. A bird does not think, "Gee, I wish I was a toad." Neither does a toad think, "Gee, I wish I was a bird." They just do what they do. Do birds make amazing nests? Absolutely, but they don't create a nest. They just make one. And every bird makes the same kind of nest if it's that kind of a bird. They don't make, "I think I'd like a split level ranch." No bird ever did that, right? People say, "Yeah, what about those gorillas? Those gorillas, they're practically human." Not once. "We can teach them sign language. Are you kidding me? That's so cool." Not once did one single gorilla ever meander into the people's camp and say, "Hey, can I get signed up for those sign language classes? I want to be more like you." Okay, that's Jungle Book, King Louie. "I want to be like you." Okay, no. We have imagination. We are different. We're created in the image of God. And this is one of the things we said, I have to just do this instead. Okay, forget about my notes. We can imagine things we cannot create because we are not God. Okay? I have always imagined that maybe if I just believed enough or thought hard enough, I could jump and fly. Some of you guys are like, "I did that." I don't want to admit it right here, but I've done that. When you were younger, some of you got over it, okay? I'm still wouldn't it be cool if I was doing this up there and just kind of drift? That'd be awesome. Okay, I can imagine it, but I can't do it. But most people imagine things they could do, but they're afraid to create. They're afraid to actually do. Some of you have imagined going and talking to someone about your faith, but you're afraid to create that tension. Some of you have imagined doing something, maybe in writing, that you could share with other people about what you believe or about what things really matter. Some of you have thought, "I can imagine myself maybe painting," but you were afraid that if you ever touched a paintbrush to a canvas, it would be so ugly that nobody would want to look at it. Put it in your own term, but you've imagined things that you could do, but you are afraid to actually create. And until we create, it's just an imagination. It's the same as thinking that you could fly. It doesn't become real until we speak. Your words are actually creating reality. How did God do it? There was nothing. God said, let there be light, and there was light. You guys create reality every time you speak. Every single word that comes out of your mouth has never been spoken before. It's real. And this is how you know it's true. Look at Olivia. She's like, oh, here it comes. I've heard all this crap. All right. This is how you know it's true. Have you ever said some words you wished you could uncreate? But once you said them, they were real and they had a life of their own. Man, we got to stop saying things that we want to uncreate, and we need to be so intentional about creating things that bring blessing and glory into people's lives. It's what we were created for, is to create a reality that points to Jesus, not to ourselves, never to ourselves. So Diotrephes likes to be first. And so Diotrephes, you know what he does? He starts positioning himself in such a way that he is the most important person, the decision maker, the influencer in this group of people called a church. And in doing so, he does the exact opposite of what Jesus does. To be first, Diotrephes says, I have to be better than you. I have to be the one in control. Or we talked about, I won't go into detail. We talked about that every human being reflects the image of God and that we all have a desire to be great. Now you're going to say, I don't want to be great. Everyone wants to be great. We interpret it differently. We don't have time to do that. But the problem is we've confused in our world greatness for power and control and fame, as opposed to greatness being the fullness of who you are supposed to be. The greatness of the world says this: I need people either to vote for me or like me on Instagram, right? I need to have lots of attention. It requires the participation of you either voluntarily, you like me, fame, or under compulsion, I'm in control, you have to do what I say. And we think that's greatness, but it's not. Because the greatest person that ever lived was
Jesus.
And at the height of his greatness, he was nobody. Even the people that had followed him ran away. Greatness comes when you fulfill God's purpose and when your primary interest is not in being in charge or being the leader or making sure your opinion is heard or making sure that you know. It's making sure that everybody around you is being served to the maximum extent that you can possibly do it. See, Jesus became great by loving us into the kingdom through the sacrifice of his body on the cross. We know other people who became great by belittling other people. And this is how you can know it. And then I will almost be done. I have like 2 minutes. So I'll almost be done. This is how you can know it. Even in a church setting, and you guys, I don't know anything about this place, okay? So please. I mean, I know you guys, but I don't really know how it actually works. This is how you can know it. If you've been around church world long enough, there are people who want to be great in the church, and this is how you can know it. They talk about other people in the church down. Greatness in the world standard means I have to put you down. It's about me, and it's about putting you down. And so we gossip about people, even in the church. We gossip and we talk. And we actually, now, here's the thing. People are like, well, I just talk about this because I'm interested in what's best for the church. Knock it off. You're a gossip and a busybody. Quit it. Start building people up. Good stuff? I had something that I wanted to say that I'm just not going to get to. So, the end of it is this, right? No, we got to go. Right, the end of it is this. Imitate those who do good, don't imitate those who do evil. And this is what I would have spent more time on, but I won't. It's simply this: who are you hanging out with? when I work with younger people, we'll say it this way, kind of. Your friends are determining your direction. Now, here's the thing. Us old people, we're like, well, our direction is already set. And may I say it again? Knock it off. Who are you spending most of your time with? That's the direction of your life. That's the message of your life. That is the story of your life. I spend time with these people, but I go to church. But this is who you are. This is your life. We need to be surrounding ourselves with people who are moving in a similar direction that we want to move, not to where we will naturally move. Don't imitate people, because we all will imitate the people we are around. We are all drawn to certain kinds of people that we want to be like, and we will be like those people because we want to be like them, and the more we're around them, the more we will be like them. Because you don't hang out with people you are not like. Once you realize you're not like them, you either become like them or you find a group of people that you are like. Right? This is standard stuff, but we all think that this is about peer pressure and teenagers. No. We're all just old teenagers. We just got better at it. We're just more subtle. We think we're in control. Who are you hanging out with? Choose carefully. And finally, I have much to write to you, but I don't want to do so with pen and ink, and so we'll finish the way that we ended last time. The Christian life is lived better face to face. There is no real communication in these letters. John wrote the letter because it was the way that he communicated, but he didn't want to write a letter. He wanted to look him right in the eye and say, come on, let's go. Let's get together. Let's love each other. Let's love as a church. And we are increasingly moving towards a world where so much communication, it might be quicker, but it's still this. And John is saying, you are not having real communication when you're doing this. You must be surrounded by people who can look you in the eye and say, come on, let's go. The stakes are too high. Our lives are too important. Their lives are too important. Let's get after it. Jesus died for this. He became great for this. Let us follow him into greatness by sacrificing our comfort, by sacrificing what would people think. By not talking about each other, but instead building each other up, that we may serve those that need Jesus. Amen.